Rachsana, it's such a big schos for us to have our head of school, Rabbi Sochel, here with us, and very esteemed colleagues, Strassman, had the privilege of learning together for many years now in so many different contexts, to see parents and Talmidim, and it's wonderful to be together, and people, I mentioned Dr. Master before, and Robert Friedman, and, you know, so wonderful to learn together in so many different contexts. So the topic that I wanted to discuss is obviously related to President's Weekend. The halachic aspect of this will be, you know, the propriety of reciting a bracha on an American president. I just want to begin with two more general hayaros, the first of which is whether or not one concludes to make a bracha, not to make a bracha, b'shema malchus, not with shema malchus. Nobody ever disputes that the principle of, you know, mechalkin kavo the malchus, of demonstrating great respect, is always in order. That a person who, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has seen fit, you know, whether it's through democratic or autocratic means of, you know, cloaking in enormous powers, we'll talk about what the parameters of those powers are, you know, is deserving of a certain kind of respect. And that's, you know, true to very, very, very great degrees. Regarding all officials, you know, of the government, there's a certain way that we interact with them, and even and especially when we can strongly disagree with them, and, you know, these disagreements can be very, very deeply felt, we always have to be mindful. And the reason that I say that, you know, is, of course, the context of that Maimar Chazal is Vayitzaveim al b'nei Yisrael vel paro melech Mitzrayim. Chazal comment, you know, that the tzivoy klape paro melech Mitzrayim was chilku kavod the malchus. So, you know, I think I feel relatively comfortable saying that paro's policies were highly objectionable to Klal Yisrael, and yet the principle of chilku kavod the malchus was still, you know, operational within that framework. And as much as we could, and maybe we have over the course of our lifetimes, you know, objected to specific policies, depending on where we are in the world, right, to say that somebody would rise to the level of Paro Melech Mitzrayim is something that probably tends toward the hyperbole. That's number one. Number two, I want to make it very clear that when I talk about reciting a bracha over an American president, I'm not commenting about any president in particular. You're not going to hear me say anything that, you know, borders even remotely on, you know, Lincoln, yes, because he happens to be my favorite, and Martin Van Buren, no. You know, I'm not going to be making any such comments, you know, whether they're figures, you know, from the beginning of the Republic or more recent, vintage. That's really not my goal at all, but is to try to understand a little bit of, you know, the framework for, you know, this particular halachic discussion, which I think is also in many ways, and this is why I chose it, replete with hashkafic significance. So the Yeshiva Masachta this year, our Talmidim certainly all know this, and hopefully our parents do as well, but for the benefit of everybody present, is Brachos. And so this is a sugya in Brachos, one that probably most Yerim won't get to. It's in Perek HaRoa, it's a very beautiful sugya, but again, not typically on our Yeshiva syllabus, no less important. Tanu Rabbanan HaRoa Chachmei Yisrael Omer Baruch. Now, again, we don't have Shem B'Malchus here, but the understanding of the Balei Tosos in the beginning of the Perek and all Rishonim subscribe to this is this B'Shem B'Malchus, Shechalak Mechachmaso Li'irei'ov. Chachmeu Mosa Olam Omer Baruch Shenasan Mechachmaso Lebasar Vadam. Haroe Malcha Yisrael, we are focused, Omer Baruch Shechalak Mikavodo Li'irei'ov. You see the, of course, linguistic overlap with Chachmei Yisrael and Malcha Yisrael, that we're talking about Yireyav in both cases, as opposed to the Umos Olam, Malchi Umos Olam, Omer Baruch Shenasan Michavodo Lebasar Vadam. Yireyav is a term which is reserved for Klal Yisrael. So the Marsha just comments, you know, here in terms of some of the nuances of language that we find in the Nusach HaBracha. It's always fascinating to analyze Nusach HaBracha. Baruch Shechalak Mechachmasu Agabe Chachme Yisrael Amar Shechalak mechachmasa lefi shehem chevel nachalaso v'chalko. Ki ilu hu cholek imaim chachmaso. We're talking about like an internal distribution, kaviyachol. There's a limit to what we can say and verbalize about a Kadosh Baruch Hu, shi chachmasa Torah. U kira'am li re'av, opimashakasov, kol shiras cheto kodem besa chachmaso, chachmaso miskayemes. We're not taking an IQ test here. The IQ test would be very, very impressive in the raw score, but what's even more impressive is you're also kodemes lechachmaso, and that's why the appellation Yireyav here is the most fitting. Aval gabe chachme ovdei kochavim, and we don't deny it, right? Chachma bagayim tamein. We have a very strong tradition within Chazal that there's wisdom to be gained, and we are wise to seek out that wisdom. Ezu chacham alomed mikol adam, universally. There's plenty to learn, you know, and we have, you know, people from the umos haolam who have made incredible, you know, contributions, you know, the Isaac Newtons of the world, the Da Vinci's of the world, and of course, you know, ad hayom hazeh. Which again has is certainly its place. So the Marsha was very sensitive to the fact that the Gemara not only presents these in conjunction with each other, but you really can't understand the sugya of the bracha on Malchei Umos HaOlam or Malchei Yisrael without understanding the parallel sugya of Chachmei Yisrael and Chachmei Umos HaOlam and the dual Hayara that he's making. And he's, again, making the argument that these points are intertwined, that it's an issue of Chalak versus Nasan. The verb really matters. We're talking about something which is internal as opposed to something which is simply given over. And belatedly, the idea of Lireyav as opposed to Basar Vadam, you know, connotes the relative primacy of Torah. Now, the affiliation between Malchei Yisrael and Torah might seem, you know, a little bit less intuitive. We think about the Melech primarily as a political figure, but let's not forget, you know, that the Melech has a very significant role in terms of Torah leadership as well. V'chasav lo es mishna Torah zos al sefrim lifnei ha-kohanim alevim v'haysayimo v'karavo kol yimei chayav. The Rambam, with his remarkable formulation, where the Rambam, you know, discusses the idea, you know, of libo hu lev kol ha-kohal, that as the heart of the king goes, the people goes, and therefore the Rambam says, lefikach dibko ha-kosav batorah. His immersion in Torah is really a matter of national security, nothing, you know, less than that. So if you take a look in the Rambam in Hilchos Brachos, this is in Perek Yod, where the Rambam deals with most of the brachos that we find in Perek Haroah. So the Rambam writes, Haroah mechach meyumos ha'olam, and again, you can see here that the Rambam, you know, was very true to the Gemara in terms of the Gemara's orientation, so he kept these together. Very often when the Rambam will separate halachos that appear in conjunction with each other, as those of us in Shir talk about almost every day, that's a very strong indication that the Rambam, you know, wants to highlight a conceptual point. When he keeps them together, it's not just, you know, he chose to do it because why not, it's really because he sees, you know, some fundamental connection. So, Ro mechach meyumos olam, omer barachat Hashem elkeinu melcho, and you can see Shem Malchus, shenachan mechmaso lebasar v'adam, mechach meyisrael, mevarech shenasan mechachmaso lireyav, and then without missing a beat, Malchi Yisrael omer, shenasan mikavodo umi givuraso lireyav, Malchei umos olam, mevarech shenasan mikavodo lebasar v'adam. So you can see here, I bolded it just for your benefit. So the insertion of the term givuraso was something that captured the attention of so many of the Nosei Kalim in the Rambam, and it's something that I really want to discuss. And if there is hopefully some value added here, I'd like to modestly give you some of my own impressions about the meaning of that word, givuraso, specifically with respect to Malchei Yisrael, that I don't think have been so much represented in the extant literature that we have here. So Divrei Yirmiyah, one of the great Achronim, commented on the Rambam. So he took a stab at what the Marsha also, you know, was fascinated by. He says, "V'hevdal be'nasan v'shachalak muvan ki achelak mora bioser be'erech ladavar shenechlak mimenu." Again, you know, we're not talking about something in the literal sense of the term. Afki chalila lomar shavi ve'erech lichvodo yisara. We can't draw absolute equivalencies. Im kolzeh miderech halashon kein kemo shekasav zal dibra Torah b'lashon b'nei Adam. As Chazal tell us, they use language that we can well understand. V'lashon Rabbeinu gvuraso, and he picks up on gvuraso. V'malchei Yisrael asher lahema gvura mehashem asher osa chayil. So here, the Divrei Yirmiyah wants to immediately make the suggestion that Gevura connotes, you know, yeser se'es, yeser az, even greater strength. And it's very clear from the context, you know, that Yisrael osa chayil is a product of the Yad Hashem, and it has to do with, you know, manifestations of power. Again, this is an important tradition. Yirmiyahu was one of the very few, great Hungarians, post Chasam Sofer that didn't really affiliate with that school. It's a whole interesting discussion in its own right, Rabbi Yirmiyahu Laub. I'm going to be going in a slightly different direction, but just, for the sake of responsibility and thoroughness, people should know that the Divrei Yirmiyahu already, took his stab at the question. So if you take a look here at the Shulchan Aruch, where it's Nifsak La'alacha Aruchayim Reish Chafdalit, Al-Malchi Yisrael Omer Baruch Ata Hashem Elkeinu Melech Olam, Shechalak Mikvodo Li'Reyav, Al-Malchi Umos Ha'olam Akam Omer Baruch Shenasa Nemikvodo Lebasar Vadam. So the Chalak Nasan distinction is very much in place. Basar Vadam as opposed to Yireyav is very much in place. And you'll note that the Shulchan Aruch dropped the Girsa of the Rambam, which is a very noteworthy thing. So often the Mechaber was willing to integrate the Rambam, as such, but here it was not, one of these places. So the discussion in terms of, let's say American presidents, halachically really begins with the Tshuva of the Radvaz, which has great purchase amongst the Achronim, beginning with the Magen Avram, no surprise, making it to the Elio Rabba, as well as the Mishnah Berurah. So I'm going to just, again, select here from a number of the Achronim, but you should know this is really the controlling source in terms of the, discussion. Everything seems to revolve around the doctrine that the Radvaz introduced in terms of what is the threshold level for a recitation of this bracha. So the Radvaz, here I'm just going to read it from the Eliyahu Rabba, but like I say, the Magen Avraham had it first. Chasa v'tshuvas ha-Radvaz, ha-shultonim shabareyem ve'ein o melech aleihem l'shanos estivreyem, mehein l'lav u'melav lehein, right, what they say goes, they don't have to get approval, from anybody else. V'horeg b'mishpat, Mivarech Aleihem. So they even have the capacity to take life, right? We're not just talking about Dine Mamanos, but Dine Nefashos, and they don't need, anybody's approval for this. They simply can. You make a bracha. So Od Sham, Imroakam Lachem Ochachamim Biomechad, Mivarech Alkolechad Bifnei Atzmo. There isn't like a group, discount here in terms of the brachos, and not just because we're always, trying to get to Mea Brachos Bechol Yom. I don't think that's the issue. But that each one is like, an encounter in its own right. I think that in many ways this is very telling. So this too is rooted in a comment that Tosos makes at the very beginning of Perek HaRoa, where he says that in his opinion, almost all of the brachos that appear in this perek, whether it's Osa Maisa Bracious or, Chalak Mechachmaso Li'Reyav, the fact of the matter is, that it's Mishloshim L'Shloshim Yom. It's about a certain experience, and once it becomes habitual, if a person is the chief of staff, if you're James Baker to Ronald Reagan, assuming that there'd be a bracha, so you're not making a bracha every single time you enter the Oval House. Not that he'd be mechuyev anyway, but we'll think of somebody else. Maybe I think Jack Lew, would have been mechuyev b'davar. So the Mishnah Berurah also accepts this, and like I said, it's very again, widely accepted, within the Achronim, that this tshuva of the Radvaz, and to sort of begin to measure this this bracha, with respect to the capacity to take life and not having to consult in general, mehein lalav, milav lahein. It's not like, they could be overruled by a two-thirds majority in a bicameral legislature. It doesn't really work that way. It has to do with a certain degree of authoritarian, power, and there are nuances I'll discuss in a second, but that's true legislatively, and that's true, again, at the outer boundaries in terms of, taking life. So there are two, very classical tshuvos on either side of this. First, we'll deal with the Shevet HaLevi, with Rav Rosner, and then we'll deal with Rav Sternbach in tshuvos Hanhagos, and see their different perspectives, about, this matter. Again, everybody's operating to one degree or another within the framework that was generated by the Tshuvas HaRadvaz, and then we'll be able to hopefully move to the next level of the analysis. So if you take a look, this is Shevet HaLevi, Aleph Lamed Hey, Rabbi Mandelstam and I were kidding around before. I want to thank Rabbi Mandelstam. We used to have access here in yeshiva to the Bar Ilan Responsa. He still does, we don't anymore. So the Shevet HaLevi, to get an electronic copy of it, I had to, nudge him, and he was, very gracious about it. So want to be makir tov. So Chaim v'Shalom Lecha, Huvi Talmidia, Rav Gaon, etc., etc., Ben Gedolim v'Tzadikim, Reb Moshe Halberstam Shlita, okay, and he sends his greetings, and he tells him that he apologizes for a little bit of a delay.
Machmas. Could you advance?
Sorry. Yeah, thanks.
The sheet for us? Yeah. Thank you.
Sorry, Robert. Please remind me if I forget that again. That always happens. Okay, Machmas Terdusia Asumos Mile Deshmayo Mile Demasa. He says it wasn't just the learning and the shiurim this time around, but other things that got to me. Ushelos Anitzrachos Lasha Acharti Adhena. I'm a busy guy. Vavo Yom Bekotzer Amarim Al Shelascha Shelaschacha Me'in Abracha Al Malka Me'umos Ha'olam. So, until very recently, and for the better part of the 20th century, so there was the queen, Elizabeth. Now there's the king. You should have a refuah. But the question was, in terms of, making a bracha, on, let's say, the queen of England. So, Be'nai Pashat Ma'od.
And then, or.
Be'nai Pashat Ma'od Lahalacha Dein Chiluk Ben Melech L'malka. And there was some discussion about that. The Gemara obviously spoke about, Malcha Yomosa Olam, Lashon Zachar, but he says there is no distinction. Mashakasa Be'in Histaklos, Bevadai Re'im, Be'rsheshes Brach, Arai, excuse me, Be'rsheshes Brachos, Nenchesam Aleph, Debir Echalamelech, Avalpi Shelo Ra'od, Hasaginar, Havi Rai Nechona. So apparently it was reflected in the She'ela, which we don't have, that you might not actually need to visualize this. And again, maybe you're not even allowed to if it's a Malka. He's talking about the Isser Histaklos, because it's not so much about the eye contact, but let's say the retinue. And we'll see the Gemara in the Hemsheikh of the Shir, where Rav Sheshes, who was a Sagi Nahor, and that's actually a very important part of the analysis, for my opinion. So, he knew, he was able to discern when the Melech was around, and he made the Bracha. And obviously, he couldn't see anybody, let alone a Melech or Malka, and he still made the bracha in their presence. So that's a significant thing. So the raya from Rav Sheshes that, Rav Halberstam suggested, he felt was a raya nechona. Okay, this is the point that he's making. He raya nechona, based on Rav Sheshes. Uchemavuar, agam kein la'alacha v'sholchan aruch reish chavdale b'magin avram, ad pshitas agamar mashma debireich bracha mamish. Okay. That he really made the bracha b'shem of a malchus. Afilu nidcha raya zo. See if you don't like that raya, and you say it's this divrei agada. Kati nafka mina al pia mavuar mavoda zara dav chaf. And the Karen Zavis havi was around the corner, so maybe there wasn't a full visualization. Dvchi agavna leka iser histaklus. There also wouldn't be an iser of histaklus because again, there's not the ability to really fully see something in a way that would be gorim hirer. So the first thing that Rav Wozner says is that you don't really need ri'iyah. It's not just like about, seeing something. And once you see it, that's a tanai hechrechi in the bracha. It's about being in the presence of the individual. That's why I call the shir, in the presence of greatness, kind of an allusion to the Shevet Halevi's Hayara. V'chein pasha b'ena de'afilu ein b'yada la'arog mamish. And getting back now to the Tshuva Saradvaz, this is where he starts to go off in his own direction a little bit. So he says even if it's true, she's not really going to be able to still kill people. Beli hisyatzis im roshe hashilton, a constitutional monarch, a limited monarch. Mikol makom hayos hi yohu hayosim bechubadim amam vecholkim lahem kavod shein degmaso roi levori chaleihem shenasan mikvoto. So this was the real major breakthrough of the Shevet Halevi, where he says the person who's considered to be the most prestigious person in that country gets a bracha, v'shem v'malchus. So he moved away from the Radvaz. It's interesting because, he wants to read it in a little bit to the Radvaz, and he says the Radvaz was just really getting at that. For the Radvaz, it wasn't, as if the rationale for making the bracha was the capacity to be done dinin nefashos without consultation. That was just not what we would call a siba, that was just a siman ledavar. That was an indication or a manifestation of, being in the highest office holder in the land. So according to Shevet HaLevi and those who follow this position, there's no question that the American president, is the most prestigious, person in the land. And, it's true that they don't have, powers to just, kill people. I'll get back to that actually in a second. There's an interesting discussion about that. But, you know, they're not, you know, in charge of those wheels of justice, you know, in that fashion. They can't, you know, weigh in on some case in, you know, state court or federal court even and say, you know, whatever, you know, you were thinking of going for 15 years, I'm thinking of going for the electric chair. You know, that doesn't really happen in the United States of America. And they couldn't even do it with a cabinet consultation. They couldn't say, oh, and the cabinet voted on it, and, you know, the national security advisor also thinks it's a good idea. So if you don't mind Judge so-and-so, you know, upping the sentence over here, it's a capital punishment, you know, that doesn't happen in the United States. But the Shevet HaLevi says it doesn't matter because it's just about the highest office holder, you know, in the land. Really remarkable kind of suggestion. Just one other point before we see really, like, you know, an opposite perspective on the part of Rav Sternbach, which is a fascinating tshuva from apartheid era South Africa. There is one other point in the Shevet HaLevi that I thought was, you know, Booth, you know, discussing in light of what I already noted was unique to the Rambam's Nesach HaBracha. He says, Be'emes, this is sort of towards the bottom, about seven lines in the bottom of the tshuva, that there's a tzarech in Nesach HaBracha shel Rambam, she'etzel malchei Yisrael kasav shenasan bichvodo u'gevura so, ve'etzel malchei u'mos olam rak mikvodo. And he says, Shulchan Aruch HaPoskim, you know, they dropped this, and he says, so he suggests that maybe Gvura really is, like the Radvaz wanted to suggest, Dinei Nefasha. So again, just like we saw before in the Divrei Yirmiya, you know, he wanted to say that Gvura is like an extra degree of power. So the Shevet HaLevi says, oh, so maybe, you know, for Malchei Yisrael, you know, it wouldn't be the prime minister, let's say, of the state of Israel. The prime minister doesn't have any, you know, authority to just, you know, kill people. Left and right. So, you know, and the cabinet doesn't either. You know, there's due process. There's rule of law. You know, he says, okay, so maybe that could, you know, hold one back in terms of Malchei Yisrael. But then he sort of doubles back. He says, Lefidar Keno, Ikar Tolo Bechvodo, Vizeh Yeshlo Kimelech. Okay, so he says, the fact of the matter is, he's not so convinced of this whole idea of Dinei Nefashos altogether. He thinks the Radvaz is really getting at a person of great stature. And so he says, if anything, he'd be willing to accept it by Malchei Yisrael, not by Malchu Mosa Olam for the Rambam, but he doesn't think that that's really, you know, correct, and we should just go after the highest office holder in the land. Now, there was a controversy, I'm going to say it was around 2012, but the Talmidim here might be a little bit young to remember, but there was somebody who was a pretty high-ranking and influential member of Al-Qaeda, who was an American citizen, who was no longer living in America. I think, you know, he was living in Yemen at the time. Yeah, it was Yemen. You know, this is before the Houthis and, you know, Yemen becoming, you know, in the news more regularly. And President Obama ordered a drone strike on him. This, you know, created all kinds of discussion. You know, it's an American citizen. It's one thing if you kill Jihadi John, who was a British citizen, or, you know, Osama bin Laden, you know, who was a Saudi citizen until I think they took away his citizenship. You know, he was a world citizen of terror. you know, but an American citizen, whatever happened to due process. So there was a whole tumult about that, you know, back, you know, over a decade ago. And, you know, his rights as commander in chief, and do they supersede, you know, constitutional protections that Americans are given? Certainly we wouldn't, you know, be used to the idea that the president saying, in my role as commander in chief, I'm going to go and, you know, order dropping a tactical nuclear weapon on Philadelphia, you know, that would seem, you know, inconsistent with the general understanding of presidential power. That being said, you know, I started to wonder at that time, you know, everybody has their own points of interest here. I remember when that happened, I said, you know, Tshuva Saradvaz, you know, I wonder if this, you know, changes anything, if this is going to become a pattern. But so it is interesting to think about, and this is another really fascinating distinction between, let's say, the Israeli prime minister and the American president. The Israeli prime minister, there is no constitution in Israel, but the Israeli prime minister is not the commander-in-chief of the army, okay? The Israeli prime minister doesn't have the right to tell Herzi HaLevi as the chief of staff where to deploy the troops. That's not the way that it works over there. There's a war cabinet. At least in theory, the decisions are meant to be made via the, you know, Sar Bitachon, in conjunction with whatever the organized war cabinet is. And there are some things that you're actually required to vote on. It's a complicated structure. So in any event, depending on how constructionist one wishes to be or not regarding the Tshuva Saradvaz, this issue of Dan Dini Nefashos. And the Shevet HaLevi certainly doesn't want to be. He's not taking it in that direction. But if you want to be a literalist and constructionist about it, so then you'd start to want to get into these questions of, does this person have the power of taking life, you know, in that regard? And I think that's a really interesting question. Now, Rav Sternbach, here you see in Tshuvos V'Hanhagos, was asked about, then you see that this is an apartheid era tshuva, al nasi amedina shel Drom Africa, im levarech shenasan michvodo. And it's really a remarkable kind of a tshuva, and it takes you back to a different time in South Africa. And unfortunately, the resonances of South Africa for us, you know, post ICJ in The Hague are very painful ones. I was dealing a lot this week with somebody who was traveling in South Africa, Cape Town, Johannesburg, and I told them, you know, if you don't mind while you're there, just telling them they got the whole genocide thing right. It's a minor mistake. They just got the wrong side in the genocide. You know, if they could correct that, you know, in their filing with the court, you know, we'd appreciate it. But there's a complex history between Israel and South Africa that weighs in, and it really does go back to the apartheid era. So he says, "Al Nasi Amdina Drom Africa, Bichzichronik Shagir Eretz Yisrael Lebikur Nasi Me America Nechaku Harabanim." There's a big discussion amongst the Rabbanim. Milavarech Shanasan Bichvodo Olo Uladati Kevin Shemamado Hutaloi VeOmed BeAchlatas Beis HaNivcharim, the House of Representatives, Shemash BeKohocham LaHadiachos, so they can impeach him. This is before everybody started getting impeached, you know, Yether Mantik Undanerstik. But he knew enough to know that they theoretically could impeach him. Nobody was doing it. Now, if you don't get impeached, you know, like there's something wrong with you. Everybody needs to be impeached. Cabinet secretaries, you know, presidents and the like, you know, who doesn't get impeached? But anyway, he thought the very theoretical possibility of impeachment, which was really a theoretical possibility 30 years ago, okay, v'samchu yosav mugbalin me'od, right? The president can't do whatever he wants, you know. In the first term, he's trying to get reelected. The second term, he's already a lame duck, you know, and he needs the Congress to go along, and even, you know, they can override, you know, him with a two-thirds majority, even his vetoes, you know. So the whole thing, he's not a melech. V'lo dami l'mlucha ba'anglia, afilu bizmanenu. Even though, you know, Queen Elizabeth, it wasn't like she was going to be able to deploy, you know, the British army either. Afilu bizmanenu shal kol chok chadash hamalka chosemes, and it's really a symbolic role, but she does sign every law that, you know, Parliament passes. V'lo mischalefes el hamlucha biyado v'yad tzetzeah, but it is genealogical and hereditary, right? The House of Windsor. Uchvoda chvod melachem mamish, right? V'avshel ma'isa ina misareves besitrei ha'shilton. Right, she doesn't, you know, really get involved. There are these, you know, protocols. Every time there's a new British prime minister, there is a tkufa in recent years, there's a new prime minister every few months in Britain. So they have to, you know, go from 10 Downing Street to Buckingham Palace, and they have to bow, and they have to shake the hand of the monarch, and, you know, get the appointment. There are these tachsise, you know, malchus, there are these rituals. She's not going to get involved in the nitty-gritty, but mikol makom tzareches chasimasa. You need her gushpanka, kol chok v'chok. They take this seriously. They take it so seriously. Superior. He's nobody. They could get rid of him tomorrow. Really fascinating idea. So Rav Sternbach wants to say that you can't even compare the British monarchy, which is real monarchy and it's hereditary monarchy, and even if in practice they're not getting too involved in governmental matters, if anything, that's lefi chvodam, because to pass a tax rate, you know, that's, you know, for the commoners, but, you know, they'll hold up the kavod of the empire of Britannia, you know, and the Nasi of the Artos Habris, you know, he's a placeholder. He's going to be gone in, you know, a term or two. He doesn't get to pass it on to his children. You know, it wasn't like John Adams, you know, was responsible for John Quincy Adams, or, you know, Herbert Walker Bush was responsible for George W. You know, they had to get elected on their own. It may have helped them, but, you know, they probably had a greater chance than I did if I interested, but the bottom line is that it's not a hereditary office. Then he says something so interesting. Uchichan Khan Bedron Africa, Ein Lenasi Me'ein Kavod Malachim. V'lo rak etzel hashchor, and this is apartheid era South Africa, not just with respect to blacks, shelo makir minusioso klal, they don't recognize him at all, right? They despise, you know, again, this is before the ANC and Mandela came to power, they just totally disregard him. Elagam halavana mehem, shelo mechabdim oso misnagdim lo. He also has, you know, opponents from the ruling, you know, white group in South Africa. Davar shelo yitzur b'melech, kein hanal, shekavodo me'in kavodo. Yis ale or yis barach shemo v'shaper shayach v'melech habracha shenasan michlodo lebasar v'adam. So here, Rav Sternbach is doing something conceptually, to me, extremely elegant. He's retrojecting from the bracha into the lamdas. He's saying, look, the bracha is that a Kadosh Baruch Hu gave his kavod to human beings. You wouldn't call a kavod that's subject to impeachment, you know, part of that. You wouldn't say a kavod, you know, that's subject to all kinds of domestic opposition. Mikvodo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he sees, you know, the idea of a bracha, an American president, as risable, something which is totally, you know, beyond the pale. So, I mean, akatsa verakatsa, you have the Shevet HaLevi, who really, you know, is coming from the, you know, perspective of the highest office holder, you know, in the land, and that is, you know, the president. You know, and especially when you factor in the commander-in-chief, you know, piece of things, if you want to, he doesn't, but if you want to be, you know, faithful to the Radvaz, so that's, you know, something, I think, to take into consideration. And then, you know, on the other side, you know, Rav Sternbach just doesn't see that at all. It's nothing to do with the highest office held in the land. It has to do with, you know, Kavod Shamayim. Yeah, Rabbi Sochel, please.
Your examples would lead to a counter.
Right, and as I was mentioning it before, and so you really could have like three different perspectives. So one perspective, with, let's call it the Shevet HaLevi purist perspective, is it's just like the, you know, the highest office holder in the land. We don't really care so much about what the Radvaz said, and the Radvaz probably only meant it in terms of figuring out who the highest office holder was. That's one perspective. Then you have, you know, the other end of the spectrum, you have the, you know, Rav Sternbach, who's saying that this person, you know, has hereditary office, and, you know, people treat this person like, you know, they're like, you know, I don't know how much we watched, but, you know, when they coronated Charles, you know, the things that went on, you know, he's also the head of the Church of England, so part of it is religious, but, you know, the rituals that go on are so over the top. Okay, I'm an American, what can I say? But, you know, it's, you know, kvot shmaya, as they would have it. And that's, you know, and then as Rabbi Sochel is pointing out, then the Radvaz, you know, again, if one wants to really be literal to it, the power to take life. So then issues like being the commander in chief. Now, again, that's really interesting because I remember that, and Jason probably can speak to this much better than I could. I remember in the legal community, it was really quite a consternation about, you know, the use of, you know, that drone strike, and whether that was legitimate exercise of the powers of the commander in chief. So the very fact that it could be subject to judicial review, you know, and I don't know what they would do. But, you know, maybe then that would come back and say, you know, the Tshuvas HaRadvaz says that he can take life without people questioning it. So, it's really a fascinating thing. Just the Aruch HaShulchan as one, you know, final Hayara in this regard. And then I wanted to just, conclude with some of my observations, especially as it concerns the Rambam of Migvuraso, and to really take it in a very different direction than either Rav Wozner did or... the Divrei Yirmiyah. So the Aruch HaShulchan thought that the entire discussion about, you know, the highest office holder as far as Malchei Yisrael was moot. This was his chiddush. Haroa Melech miMalchei Yisrael bizman haMikdash haya Omer Baruch Shachalak miChvodo liYireiav. So the Aruch HaShulchan thinks that it could only be Shayach bizman haMikdash. He doesn't really explain why, but I wanted to make a suggestion. Right, we just saw a moment ago that Rav Sternbach was talking about, you know, the idea of Kavod Shemayim, you know, Malchusa da'ara ke'en Malchusa d'rikia, and therefore, you know, he thought the Queen of England was a good fit for that, and the American president, it was, you know, an absurd suggestion. So I think what the Aruch HaShulchan is saying is that Malchei Yisrael could only be Bizman HaMikdash, you know, when there's a certain degree of Hashras HaShchina, that you can say that the, you know, Melech, you know, is, you know, a human agent you know, he's the human ambassador for, you know, the you know, Melech Elyon, as we would call him. And that, I think, is one way of analyzing the Aruch HaShulchan. The other approach would be to say that Zman HaMikdash is another way of getting at, you know, the degree of sovereignty. I think that's also a possibility. There's a Tshuvas HaRan, actually, where the Ran makes a similar suggestion in the Ran's, actually the Drasha's HaRan, excuse me, Drasha Dalet, where the Ran talks about, well, was there a problem? Like the Ramban says, that the fact that the Chashmonoim sees the Malchus, Afal Pishim Ayu Chasid HaYelyon, Vil Malehim Nishtach LaTorah V'Amitzvos Miyisrael, they violated the injunction against those who are from outside of Shevet Yehuda taking the Malchus, and he says, therefore, they were Nischayiv Kliyol Lamakom. That's why they were annihilated. The Gemara Baba Basra, Daf Gimel, Kla Omer, Mibes Chashmoni, Kasina Avdahu. So, in any event, the Ramban is suggesting that even during the period of Bayesheni, this injunction was in order, and the Ran strongly disagrees, which is always noteworthy because the Ran sees himself as a great grand Talmud of the Ramban and the last of the Mohicans of Chachmei Sfarad in that respect. And he says it's not true because anything that was posed by Bayis Rishon wasn't real sovereignty. They were vassals. The reality was they were geopolitical vassals. So it could be that the Aruch HaShulchan is getting at one of those two ideas, but that's also, I think, you know, well worth noting. Now, the Hemshech of the Gemara that I started with in Brachos Daf Nun Ches. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, La'olam yishtadol adam larutz likras malchei Yisrael, v'lo likras malchei Yisrael bilvad, ela afilu likras malchei umos ha'olam, that it's considered to be a spiritual value to encounter a melech, is a remarkable idea. Shem yizke yavchin ben malchei Yisrael l'malchei umos ha'olam. So again, you could just take it as Divrei Agada, but the Rambam actually paskins this halacha in Hilchos Avel, Paragimah halacha yadalit. When the Rambam is paskining that for a tzarech mitzvah, a kohen, can violate the Tumah Derabanan, not Tumah Deraisa, but a Tumah Derabanan, Beis HaPras, and the like. So the Rambam includes this, that a Kohen could incur Tumah Derabanan, which is no small matter, right, for the purposes of going to see a Melech, because it's a mitzvah based on this Gemara. That's a remarkable conclusion, that he really took this quite seriously. This is the bolded part of the 12th source. V'chein medalgen agabe arono shel mesim likras malchei Yisrael afilu malchei Akum, there's a great spiritual value associated with that, and that spiritual value is called the Gemara, She'im Yizke, you know, Yavchin. An interesting idea. What exactly that means is a little bit enigmatic. Rashi thinks, She'im Yizke, Lolam Haba, B'ira, B'chavod, Melech HaMashiach, Yavchin, Kami Yoser, Kavod, Not Leischar Mitzvos, Yoser, Mashahaya, Kavod, Umos, Be'olam Hazah. So it's true that you can see, you know, great, you know, honor and prestige in, you know, a melech of umos ha'olam, but it will just give you the framework, the hasaga of, you know, what real kavod is all about. Now, the fact that the Rambam conceptualizes that as an actual mitzvah is a remarkable kind of an idea. And this brings me, you know, to, for me, the kind of the final word on this, which is the aforementioned, you know, story of Rav Sheshes. And it's here that I would like to try to relate back to the Nusach of the Rambam of Gurasso, specifically as it concerns Malchei Yisrael, and to try to define in slightly different terms what I see as the spiritual value of Yarutz Adam Likras Malchei Yisrael, v'lo Likras Malchei Yisrael Bilvad, alo afilu Likras Malchei Umos Ha'olam, that there is, you know, a spiritual value in that encounter. So the Gemara tells us the following story. Rav Sheshes Sagi Naor Hava, he was not able to see. Avuka Azli Kulei Amalek Ulei Apay Malka. There was a great stir. People were going to see the king. Vekam Azol Behadayu Rav Sheshes. And Rav Sheshes went along with the entourage. Eshkechei Haumina Amalei Chatz Bil Nahara Kagnei Laya. So this is an insulting idiom, you know, taking advantage of the fact that Rav Sheshes was, you know, a Sagi Naor. And, you know, denigrating him, he's just, you're not even going to be able, you know, to appreciate when the melech is here. So Amrlei, Tachazi di Adana Tvei Minach. So Rav Sheshes says, we'll see, you know, who knows better when the melech is coming. So Chalav Gunda Kamaisa, so let's say the first, we would pay in American terms, they have the presidential motorcade, right, all the suburban. So the first suburban comes along, you know, and there's a great stir. Is it the president, Kika Avsha? So Amalei Haumina Asamalka. So the mean thought, this is for sure the Melech. So Amalei Rav Sheshes Lo Kasi. So Rav Sheshes says, oh, that's not the Melech. So Chalav Gunda Tinyana, there was a second suburban. So Kika Avsha, people got all riled up. So Amalei Omina Hashta Kaasi Malka. So the men says it's for sure the president. So Amalei Rav Sheshes Lo Kaasi Malka. It's still the Secret Service, or you know, one of the cabinet secretaries. So Chalav Tlisai Kika Shaskan. It was totally quiet. So Amalei Rav Sheshes Vade Hashta Asi Malka. This is the Melech. So Amalei Haomina. So the men said, you were right. So Amalei, the Malchusa de Ara Kein Malchusa de Rikia. This is the source of that famous line that Malchus in this world, if it's real Malchus, it's reflective of Malchus Shamayim. So Dichsiv, this is the Pasuk in Malachim, but Eliyahu Anavi, when Eliyahu Anavi despaired, and the context here is very interesting. He despaired of Malchus Yisrael, he despaired of the house of Achav, and he went back. Particularly, he's Hevel, I have to say, of the Malka, and he went back to Chorev. Dichsev Sevimata Bahar, Lifnei Hashem, Vinei Hashem, Over Ruach Gedola, Vechazak, Mefarek Harim, that could destroy mountains, and Mesharber Slime, Lifnei Hashem, Lo Beruach Hashem, Viachar Haruach Rash, Lo Verash Hashem, Viachar Ruach Esh, Lo Veish Hashem, Viachar Esh, called the Mamadaka. Obviously, this is the source of our liturgy, the beautiful liturgy of Nisan HaTokef, on the Yomim Noraim. So we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made his presence, the Malchusa de Rikia made his presence in silence. So Rav Sheshes knew that when it got quiet, that was really the Melech. That was the true Melech. The men didn't have any appreciation. Kiyasa Malka Pasach Rav Sheshes Vekam Mevarech Lai, he made the Bracha. Right, that's how, you know, Rav Wozner concluded before. It really wasn't about the sight lines. So Amalei Ha'umina Lamantelo Chazis Lai Kam Mevarech, he didn't give up. He says, ah, you can't see him, you're making a Bracha. So my Havile da Homina, Sika da Amri, Chaburi Kachlinu Leene, either his eyes were gouged out, Vika da Amri of Sheshes, Nasan Enav Bo, the eyes that didn't work so well, Vinasa Gal Shalatamo. So it was an ignominious ending for this particular min, but that is not the point that I wanted to conclude on. So obviously, trifling with Rav Sheshes, one shall do so at his own risk. I think the actual conclusion of the Gemara is very, very, very telling. Malchusa da Ara, Kein Malchusa de Rikia, that true Malchus really does bespeak the kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Sheshes knew that the Melech, you know, was present, not when Sturm und Drang, when there was a great tumult, but he knew the Melech was present when there was silence. The authority that was connoted through that silence, there wasn't any need, you know, for hyperbole or for noise. A person with real power can walk around quietly, still waters that run, very, very, very deep. Sometimes the greatest power are the powers of restraint. As somebody who's really in control doesn't need to talk about it, doesn't need to, try to build their own brand, because the kavod bespeaks itself. It always seemed to me that this was actually, and this is a very different direction than the Divrei Yirmiya and the Shevet Halevi, part of what the Rambam meant when he said, not just, you know, Kivodo, but Gvuraso, specifically in the context of Malchai Yisrael. That Malchai Yisrael are very different than Malchai Umos Ha'olam. Malchai Umos Ha'olam desire to demonstrate, you know, great power. And Malchai Yisrael are all about restraint. If you look at the halachos that govern Malchai Yisrael, Lo Yarbe Lo Susim, Velo Yarbe Lo Nashim, Vechesev Izahav Lo Yarbe Lo Ma'od, when Shlomo lost sight of that, that was his Yerida. The Melech has to be restrained. The Vilti Rum Levavo Me'achav Ul Vilti Sura Min HaMitzvah Yamin Usmol. In the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can so often manifest restraint, Ma'avir Al Midosav, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be Mevater, the idea of a Melech Yisrael who truly bespeaks the Kvod Shemaya is one who's suffused with the midah of gvura, Ezeu Gibor, as the Rav always used to talk about, the gvura of restraint, HaKoveshes Yitzro. He may indeed have the authority and the power to do what he wants, but the greatest authority is specifically, you know, not to use it, you know, even though one can. And that, I think, is something which is particular to halachic notions of malchus and power in general, that the power of restraint, of holding oneself back, that is essentially what the melech is supposed to do. The melech could do many, many, many things, but when he holds himself back, and he chastens himself according to the laws of the Torah, levilti rum levavo me'acha velti sur mina mitzvah yaminu smol, that itself is what creates the potential for dynastic rule. Leman yarich yamim ha'machto hu vanav bekerav Yisrael. That's what makes him deserving of continuing. The more that he's projecting his self and his own power, the more he's occluding and diminishing Malchus Shamayim. There's obviously a balance here. You know, Melech Biafio Techazan Einecha. Aesthetically, he has to have a certain standing. But I think the Jewish notion of power and the Jewish notion of Malchus is always inextricably linked, as the Rambam had it, with Gevura, the Gevura, not Koach, right? But Gevura, the Gevura of restraint. And I think that's something to consider as well. So just to summarize and distill what we saw, Al Pi Halacha, there are, you know, different traditions. The Shevet Alevi, I have to acknowledge, is something of a das yachid in terms of arguing that, you know, the American president would require a bracha b'shem v'malchus, but those, you know, who follow that psak, you know, have a yeshal milah smoch. There's no question that he's the highest office holder in the land. You know, my personal instinct is a little bit more in the direction, you know, of Rav Sternbach, you know, in terms of it being a certain kind of hereditary kavod that really bespeaks, you know, kavod shemayim. Thankfully, nobody can impeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, not even if they have, you know, 2/3 of the Senate. It's just not enough to, you know, get the Melech Malchei Hamlachim out of control, you know, which I am grateful for, I have to say. I'd rather be in his hands. The Radvaz, you know, in terms of, you know, his discussion of Dinei Nefashos, that's where you have to weigh, you know, how seriously did he mean that? Was that just was that really a siba, or was that a simin? Was that just a way of, you know, sort of reflecting a very high degree of power? So as usual, there's, you know, an acceptable range. But, you know, to return to where we began and to conclude, you know, the spiritual value of interacting with Malachim, La'olam Yarutz Adam, the Rambam took that idea, you know, very, very seriously, is meant to enhance our appreciation, not of human power, but really of Kavod Shamayim, Shem Yizke Yavchin. Now, Rashi understood that, you know, in this eschatological sense, you know, Lasid level. For me, I think that's true even in this world, that when you see, you know, a certain kind of power, it can inspire a deeper appreciation and resonance of Kavod Shamayim, and that's all the more true if you see a melech who actually, you know, reflects a certain degree, you know, of kavod shamayim. So I just wanted to conclude with my personal favorite example. Again, this has no bearing on the question of the bracha, but, you know, I think every year in this time, I always talk about Lincoln in some way or another. So pater below klomi efshar, I have to mention something. You know, speaking of this idea of humility in the face of God, and again, I'm not saying I would have made the bracha, certainly not b'shem v'malchus over Lincoln, but I would have been very happy to have seen him. But in the second inaugural, when Lincoln, you know, talks about being matzdik es hadin for the Civil War, and, you know, and he says, you know, if every drop of blood drawn by the lash, meaning during slavery, shall be matched with that drawn by the sword in this war, so still it must be said, the ways of the Lord are righteous and true altogether. Mishpatei Hashem emes tzadku yachtav. So his capacity to say we've suffered so much, this was, you know, March 1865, when they used to do the inaugurations, not in January, back in March, for him to say, you know, we suffered so much, but we had it coming, because this is the will of the Melech Elyon. To me, that's, you know, no greater expression of Malchusa Da'ara than one that, you know, connotes such greatness and such reverence for Malchus Shemayim. So again, I just wanted to thank everybody for participating, and to say it's always a special zechus to learn, you know, especially, you know, when it's not, you know, on the regular schedule. Wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos and an enjoyable extended President's weekend. Thank you to everybody online also.
Really?
Yeah, Robert, please.